Truly, it's wonderful to have you all here tonight. This is a prayer meeting on Sunday nights, and we bring the word for a while as well. I'm going to keep it on the short side so we have a little more time just to wait on the Lord before we leave. Thank you for giving yourselves to the work of prayer. What powerful prayers we've heard. All four people have led us in prayer so far. And thank God for your hearts. We're always, sometimes I talk about with the staff about shrinking. For sure, we don't want performers on the platform and spectators in the audience. Sometimes I'll say we want to shrink the distance between the platform and the pew. That means everything we do, we want to do participationally. We do it together. So we don't just pray for you, we lead you in prayer, as Pastor Don said. We just don't sing songs that you listen to, but we worship together. And everything involves all of us. And I love the way God's helping us to pray together and to pray even more together this year. I just feel that urgency in my heart that the culture of prayer will go from good to even stronger and better in our church. The scripture on my heart tonight is 2 Chronicles 7:14. I have preached on this both on Sunday nights and Sunday mornings in the last 3 years, and it's not my intention to repeat all of that except to put this verse in front of you again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is a staggering verse. Sometimes you will hear me say, I want to live humbly, hungry, and holy. It comes from this verse. Those are the three movements of our part. It said, if you humble yourself, Hebrew means to bend your knee. To recognize that He is sovereign. This is about what He wants to do in our world and in our lives, not us. And humility recognizes our limitations, is comfortable with the fact that we can do nothing, but He can do everything. And so this humility, I want to be humble before Him. I want to live humbly. I want to live hungry for God. He said, if you pray and seek my face, that's being hungry for God. That's our first core value as a church. We're hungry for God. And probably praying and seeking his face were meant to be synonymous, but I like to think of prayer as that hunger for God's intervention. Have you ever prayed over a situation and you just your soul is just ached for God to step into that situation? Prayer is hungering for God's intervention. Seeking his face is hungering for his revelation and for his presence. God, I hunger for you to intervene as I pray. And as I seek your face, I hunger for the revelation of who you are, that you would turn your face towards us, that you would give your presence and your favor to us. You would reveal all of those things. So we want to live humbly, and we want to live hungry, praying and seeking God. And we want to live holy, because he said, if you turn from your wicked ways. So those three things. I love that prayer, by the way, with your boys, Pastor Crystal. That's awesome. And that purity of heart and mind and that strength of spirit kind of captures all of this. Living humbly, living hungry, and living holy. God says, if you'll live those three ways, I will do three things in response. And if this doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. He says, I'll heal you, I'll forgive you, I'll hear you, I'll forgive you, and I'll heal you. What a God we serve. He said, if you'll live humble and hungry and holy, he said, I will hear from heaven. Like truly, our voice will reach his ears in heaven. He said, I'll hear from heaven. Heaven's not too far away, but I won't hear your voice. He hears the hearts and cries of the hungry and of the humble, the holy. And so I'll hear you from heaven. And I'll forgive you, thank God. I'll not respond to you with the laundry list of all the things I'm kind of upset about in your life. But he said, I know how to just wash them all clean, thank God. And I'm just going to forgive you. I'm going to clean the slate. I'm not going to act towards you as if you've sinned. I'm going to look at you through my son, Jesus Christ, who's washed your sins away. And I'm going to see my son's righteousness, not your lousy track record. I'm not going to see in you the things that disqualify you. I'm going to see in you the things that qualify you because of my son. I'm going to forgive you. Going to clean the slate. That means there's no reason to be spiritually insecure or distant from God. He forgives us. and I will heal. I will heal not only you, but I'll heal the land. This is the God who hears and forgives and heals. This is the God who, when we humble ourselves before him and hunger after him in prayer and seeking his face, and we repent of our sin, turn from our wicked ways, he hears us and he forgives us and he heals us. I just believe that's why God's calling us to prayer together like never, perhaps never before. I just believe he wants us to keep bearing down on those three things, living humbly and hungry and holy, so that he will do those things. As we were praying for Iran and for North Korea tonight, I was thinking back when I was pastoring a group of students, a Chi Alpha group at the University of Minnesota, and I believe we'd just become a university church, and we were meeting Sunday nights so that students could come back to the University of Minnesota after being at home in the weekends around central Minnesota. And so Sunday morning, instead of having a regular church service, we just prayed. There's no preaching. We just had an hour and a half prayer meeting every Sunday morning. And I remember one Sunday morning, I mean, there was just this pressing of God's heart. And these students were amazing. They would just cry out to God. I mean, it would go on and on. No, even one person leading. I mean, just crying out to God. And the women's pastor I had on our staff team to help with our disciple. Most of us were single, so I had a women's pastor to help with our discipling of young women. And she was very prophetic, very much an intercessor. And I remember her bringing a word I've never forgotten. And this is going to sound strange to you, but we've just been calling out to God for the nations. And this prophetic word came for the country of Poland, and that something was going to happen, and that we were to press in and we were to intercede. And so here we are. We're a group of about 75 or 100 of us meeting in a community center somewhere just outside the University of Minnesota, just a little group of people somewhere in the middle of northern United States. And God starts speaking to us about changing the landscape in Poland, the political landscape, the leadership landscape, and building his church in that nation. It was a powerful prophetic word. We just began to cry out to God. We just began to call out to him again. And I'll tell you, those students just raised their voices. They went after the enemy. We began to intercede and pray for Poland. And I'll never forget it, because it was 3 or 4 weeks later that Poland was all over the front page of the United States newspapers. As a complete regime change had happened. I forget whether it was late 70s or early 80s, and Poland as a nation has never been the same. Now, I'm sure there were intercessors all over the world that God's Spirit was calling, because there are moments for nations. But this is the God who can heal the land. This is the God who can step in and intervene. And we just may be, for us, we're basically just a bunch of college students or recent graduates. We're all a bunch of single folks in our 20s just having a prayer meeting. But God could move whole nations, because we're never wasting our time when we're seeking the God of the nations who's sovereign and mighty. E.M. Bounds wrote a great book on prayer, quite a thick book. He was a missionary to the Native Americans in a previous generation, and renowned for his prayer life. He wrote, "All true revivals have been born in prayer. When God's people become so concerned about the state of religion or the spiritual condition that they lie on their faces day and night in earnest supplication, the blessings will be sure to fall," he said. It goes on shortly after, in a chapter or two later, he talks about a story out of D.L. Moody's life. Well, D.L. Moody, the great Chicago fire had burned down his church in the 1800s. The year was 1872. And in 1872, D.L. Moody's church was being rebuilt after the Chicago fire. And he decided to go to London. He just wanted some spiritual R&R, and he just wanted to go and listen to some other people preach for a change. And so he no sooner got to London and somebody prevailed on him to preach. And so he went to this church in London. He preached. E.M. Bounds described that church as perfectly dead. And that Sunday morning, D.L. Moody said it had to be the hardest experienced preaching in my entire life. And he said the depressing thought was that I already committed to come back and preach that night. What a dreadful thought. The church was dead. It was the hardest sermon he'd ever preached in his life. It was so tough to preach against all of whatever was happening spiritually. But he went to church that night, and in his words, the powers of an unseen world seemed to have fallen upon that audience. And 500 people got saved that night. What connects those dots is a lady in the service that morning who went home, and she was living with her sister who was disabled and unable. She was bedridden, disabled, and unable back in her medical condition in 1872, bedridden, unable to attend church. Her sister told her about D.L. Moody being there and at least trying to preach that morning. And this lady, bedridden, disabled, she said to her sister, "What? Mr. Moody from Chicago was there? I read about him some time ago in an American paper, and I've been praying that God would send him to London and to our church. If I had known he was going to preach this morning, I would have eaten no breakfast. I would have spent the whole time in prayer. Now, sister, get out of my room. Lock the door. Send me no dinner. No matter who comes, don't let them in. I'm going to spend the whole afternoon and the whole evening in prayer." No wonder D.L. Moody said the powers of an unseen world seemed to have fallen upon the audience that night. This is what happens by the power of God. We never waste our time when we're praying. I believe God's heart is to heal the land. His heart is to save the lost. His heart is to break through in his church. His heart in the Second Great Awakening, some people call it the Third Great Awakening, and 1857 to 1859, just before President Lincoln was elected in the Civil War. During that time, there was 1 million people who were saved when America only had 30 million people. That would like be in the next 2 years, 10 million people unchurched coming to Christ. But one of the amazing stories about that Third Great Awakening was that another 1 million church members were revived. Could you imagine 10 million evangelicals getting the fire of God in their heart again in the next 2 years in America? That's the equivalent of what happened. I think that's why we survived the Civil War in one piece, as brutal as that was. And so I think God was trying to keep his hand on our nation so we could take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. I want to tell you, praying makes a difference. It revives believers when God pours out his spirit, saves the lost. And this is what he can do. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray you'll do it again. God, keep our hearts humble. Keep our hearts hungry for you. Keep our hearts holy. And my God, may there be no limit to what you can do. May we not be the limit, Lord. But as we seek you, as we pray, as we're hungry for you, as that church in Acts 4 lifted up their voices together to you, and you shook the house and filled them with the Spirit, we pray you'll fill the church by your Spirit. We pray, oh God, you'll revive believers in our day. We pray you will indeed heal nations in our day by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Hallelujah.